to the cross. I like that. I didn't know they were going to do that one today, but I like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. How they showed how he went to the cross and sends a message to us that he's not dead anymore, y'all. Amen. I like the fact. Can I just throw one of my own little biases in? Praise God. You know, I hate to see folk walk around with crosses. I don't mind folks walking around with crosses.
Yeah.
But I get offended when I see a cross and they still got somebody on it. Can I remind you that he's not there? Amen. He's not on that cross anymore. Yeah. Praise God. He's gotten up, praise God, from that cross. He is no longer dead. But we see, praise God, that him crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Praise God. That was a forced endurance. He had to go to the cross. He was compelled to go to the cross. It was compulsory that he goes to the cross, praise God, amen, and die for our sin. But my second point, praise God, is not even less than that. It says that Jesus had to bear the burden of a forgiveless sin. I want y'all to catch that. Amen. He had to bear the burden of a forgiveless sin. Turn to your neighbor and say, now, neighbor, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he had to bear the burden of a forgiveless sin. Amen. You see, the price of sin had to be paid with a death. Amen. We know that because if we look at Romans, the 6th chapter and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise God. And we say that Jesus had to bear the burden of a forgiveless sin. I say that because Jesus could not be forgiven. Can I run that by you again?
Yeah.
Amen. See, Jesus could not be forgiven. You and I could be forgiven, but Jesus could not be forgiven. The only thing that he could do is that he could die for our sin. Praise God. He had to pay the sin debt for you and I. Praise God. And I'm here to tell you that he had no sin. See, it took somebody who had no sin, praise God, to die for mankind who had sin.
Yes,
hallelujah. And that sin was a forgiveless sin.
Yeah.
Amen. He died for our sin. Somebody said, how in the world you know that he didn't sin? Amen. All I need to do is call up on the writer of Hebrew. This is what the writer of Hebrew chapter 4 verse 15 says. He says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but praise God, but was in all point tempted just like we were. But look what it says, yet he had no sin. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you that Jesus was tempted.
Yeah.
Praise God. And let me tell you something. If Jesus was tempted and he was able not to commit sin, praise God, those times when we are tempted, we don't have to sin.
Yeah.
Can I say that again?
Yeah,
amen. When we are tempted, we don't have to sin. Praise God. And if you don't believe that, all you got to do is turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13 will tell you there has no temptation given you, praise God, that such is common, praise God. But with the temptation that God will give you a way to escape that temptation, praise God. So I'm trying to tell you, praise God, that he had no sin. Praise God. This is what the Isaiah had to say about him in Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 6. He says, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He says, all we are like sheep have gone astray. You see, we all went astray. Praise God. That's why I have to remind believers every now and then. Praise God. Don't you look down your stony nose at nobody. Praise God. Because if the truth is told, praise God, and I know it is, if somebody was to snatch the cover off of all of us, they'll find out that we have sinned and come short. Amen. It doesn't hurt me to remind, to tell folks every now and then. Amen. I haven't always been preaching. Amen. I got my kids out there. They'll tell you, praise God, I haven't always been preaching. Praise God, I used to drink that stuff just like some of y'all used to drink it. I used to get on that flow just like some of y'all used to get on that flow. But look what the text says. It says that we are like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his what? Own way. And the Lord has laid it upon him, the iniquity of us all. In other words, it was laid upon Jesus. Praise God. So he had to bear the burden, praise God, of a forgiveless sin, because he never committed a sin, but he had to take up on the sin of the world. And unlike us, praise God, see, we can go to the Father and we could ask the Father for forgiveness, but he didn't have that luxury. Yeah. Praise God. That's why he had to stand on that cross and stretched out and say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he feel that he was forsaken? Because the sin of the whole world was upon him. And praise God, and the God that we serve, Almighty God, praise God, he cannot stand to even look at sin. I don't care if it's his own son. Yeah. Praise God. And so he turned his back on his own son. And his son had to look at him and say, my God, the only time that you will find in the text that he didn't refer to his father as father. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Praise God. That's my second point. Let me get to my third point. I said I wasn't going to be long here. Amen. And we find that, praise God, him going to the cross and him crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, was a forced endurance. We found out, praise God, that it was also, he had to bear the burden of a forgiveless sin, praise God. But thirdly, we find that Jesus was desperately seeking his Father's attention. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, he was desperately seeking his Father's attention. And let me ask, is there anybody in here was a father's child? If you were one of your father's child, would you raise your hand? Amen. You were a mama's child. If you were mama's baby, praise God. Amen. Isn't it something when you have fallen out of grace, praise God, with mama or daddy, and you will do anything to try to get their attention? When you've gone out and you've done something wrong and you know you've done something wrong, praise God. And when mama or daddy walks through the door, praise God, after they've gone in for a hard day's work, amen. What do you do? Pray. Which one of these things are working? This one here? Amen. You see them walk through the door and praise God. You say you're trying, you're desperately seeking their attention. And when daddy walks through the door, you run and say, daddy, here's the newspaper. I know you love to read the newspaper. When mama comes through the door, praise God, from a hard day of work, praise God, you'll walk up to her and say, mama, here's a glass of water. I know you're tired, and if you got all of your stuff on the sofa, you'll start moving your stuff out of the way. Say, mama, come on and sit down, because you're desperately trying to get her attention. So Jesus was desperately trying to get his Father's attention. Amen. And I looked through the Bible. There have been a bunch of people who have desperately tried to get their father's and their mother's attention. Praise God. Can I call upon a couple of witnesses here this morning? Praise God. I like to call Jonah. Praise God. When Jonah has gotten to a most desperate stage of his life, God had told Jonah, he said, Jonah, I want you to go down, praise God, to Nineveh, and I want you to preach, praise God, unto the Ninevite. But we know the story. Jonah jumped on a ship and took him a trip to a place called Tarshish. In other words, he was trying anyway. Hallelujah, he was trying. But praise God, God has a way to find you. I don't care where you might be, he has a way to find you. Praise God. I remember, I don't know if it was the late, great Leo Daniels preached a sermon, praise God, that you could run, but you cannot hide. Praise God. He find a way. If we see that Jonah was aboard this ship, hallelujah, and God sent praise God, one of his agents out there on the sea called Mr. Wind. And the wind began to blow, praise God, and the wind began to rock and reel and roll this ship, praise God, until those soldiers and those sailors aboard the ship wanted to know what kind of storm we were in. Praise God, they had been sailing the high seas for many, many days, but they had never seen a storm like this. And Jonah, one thing I like about Jonah, Jonah got stood up and said, if you want this storm to stop, praise God, I'm the culprit. I'm the reason why this storm is blowing the way it's blowing. And if you want this storm to stop, throw me overboard. Hallelujah. And see, they threw him overboard. Am I correct? Praise God. And as we see, he's gotten down to the most desperate position in the world. If you go to Jonah, the second chapter, and verse 1 and 2, you're going to find these words. It says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish belly, and said, I cry by reason of my affliction, and unto the Lord he heard me. And out of the belly of hell cried I, and he heardeth me. How many of y'all have been down, praise God? You've been down in the dumps with the blues, and when you are down in the dumps, I'm talking about the lowest point of your life. Praise God, I'm talking about a child of God. Now see, a person who is not a child of God may have some difficulties understanding where I'm coming from. But praise God, a child of God who has gone down so low, praise God, they have gotten to the most desperate time in their life. They know that they got to call on one God. And I'm talking about the one and only God. But can I call one more witness to this thing? Don't y'all remember a boy by the name of the prodigal son? The prodigal son said, Daddy, I'm tired of living under your roof. I'm tired of you telling me that I got to come in at 12 o'clock. Don't you know that things don't start happening until 12 o'clock and you want me to come in? And here's what I need you to do for me, Daddy. Give me my stuff. Praise God. And they said that he gave him his stuff. And he took his stuff and he went off into a foreign land. And he began to live the life of Riley. Y'all remember the life of Riley? It was a life, praise God, of flower beds and Eve. He was going into the nightclubs. And praise God, he was treating everybody that needed something to drink. But I'm here to tell you, as long as you got something going out, and praise God, and you have no means for something coming in, praise God, sooner or later, that what you have going out is going to run out. And we find that his money ran out. And praise God, he said, well, there's some folk over there who have some hogs, and I need to go and find myself a job. And see, the significance of that is that you would never find a Jew going nowhere around no hog. If I didn't think I would blow somebody's mind as to why that is, I would give you the rationale, but I won't do it in this open forum. But when soon as the service is over, if you want to know why they don't like hogs, praise God, I'll be glad to tell you why. But praise God, we find that this young man found himself eating the husk of the hogs. In other words, he was eating slop. And hallelujah, and then he came to him since. Praise God, he said, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a, wait a, wait a, wait a minute, wait a minute. My father got some hired hands, and they are sitting back, praise God, in the palace, and they are eating. Can I throw some stuff out there? They were eating some cabbage greens. They were eating some mustard greens.